Ahoy hoy, everyone. Welcome to Talking Simpsons, a Laser Time Podcast Network Simpsons podcast, where we go through every episode in order. And by the way, this is not a commentary, folks. This is a companion piece. I'm not yelling at anybody, but just to let you know ahead of time.
Did you see people confused about
that
as
well? A few people were, and I guess we weren't straightforward enough. But I'm Bob Mackey, your host for this one. Let's go around the table and see who else is here.
First time appearance is going to be funny, Yay. Dave.
Bleeding Gums, Dave Rudden.
Perpetually sad, Henry Gilbert.
Good Homer, Chris Antista. Yes.
And we are all super fans of Howie. We're going to talk about him later, but today's episode is Moaning Lisa. It aired February 11th, 1990. Mm. And Chris, what was happening in the universe?
Oh boy, some news.
This time?
Well, Bobby, CBS airs a small gay independent film often referred to as The Wizard of Oz on its 50th anniversary. Gary Shandling hosts the 32nd annual Grammy Awards, where Bette Midler's Wind Beneath My Wings wins for Best Record and Best Song, and the Hughes Corporation, NBC, News Corp, and Cablevision announce a joint venture into the first ever direct-to-satellite TV service tentatively titled Sky.
And this song will later appear on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Sung by Krusty. It's a great cover.
Nobody wants to pay Bette Midler to take
nope,
that down.
Sorry,
I threw that in for the non-American people that this is the week that Sky was announced.
Wow.
Not launched. Announced.
Well, and Sky is the America channel where they played all the Simpsons episodes.
It's where wrestling is and Simpsons
are. Well, that's where Rupert Murdoch owned Sky. And so that's where he made some of his first bones. Mm-hmm. But... wow, yeah, what a time.
It was Hulu for Europe in 1990.
I think that Gary Shandling, when he hosted that Grammys, it's where they cut to commercial during Frank Sinatra stammering during a Lifetime Acceptance Award thing. But anyway.
So should we talk about what happens in this episode?
I think so, Bobby.
It's a like season one, you can sum it up in like one sentence. Lisa is sad. Bart and Homer have a fight over a video game, and then Lisa gets happy by discovering music, I guess, or rediscovering music.
Yeah. But a legitimate little kind of episode about depression.
About child
depression.
And I was talking to Henry before this. Everybody in this season gets depressed once. We already have seen Bart. We've seen Homer. We're going to see Marge later. It's Lisa's turn. So she gets depressed.
Maggie
never gets depressed.
I think this is a Jim Brooks thing that I think he just deals with depression. As they mentioned on the commentary track that early on that Al Jean and Mike Reese wrote this, and I believe this is their first script ever for The Simpsons, right?
Ooh, I think there might have been one before this.
Maybe. But these guys would go on to show run seasons 3 and 4, and Al Jean by himself has...
They did No Disgrace Like Home.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then they also... They show run 3 and 4 together, and then they... Al Jean has been in charge since season 15 or 14, I think.
It was 13.
13, yeah.
On the commentaries for this season, this is when Al Jean took over again. So he's talking about running the show again. It's kind of weird.
Because these were recorded in like 2000.
Yeah.
Still a lovely, like, I think the first ever Lisa episode.
Yeah.
You would call the Lisa episode.
For sure.
Here's a little clip of her getting bummed.
I'm sorry, everybody, but I've only got 2 cupcakes for the 3 of you.
Well, Mom, one of us has scarfed down more than enough cupcakes over the past 3 decades to keep it...
Bart! Just take mine. A simple cupcake will bring me no pleasure.
Oh, yeah!
And they're still the same muffin-like cupcakes.
Yeah.
Ugly-ass cupcakes.
We are back to the cupcake economy in The Simpsons.
Speaking of that, I thought we'd point out first, because we're in the first season. I wanted to point out at first, this did not happen. Let me see if you can guess what I was on the edge of my seat to hear.
Where the hell are my keys? Who stole my keys? Come on, I'm late for work.
Oh, Homer, you'd lose your head if it weren't securely fastened to your neck.
Did you check the den?
The den! Great idea.
Fucking footsteps.
Oh, they're all over the place.
God!
Warm. Now cold. Huh? Colder. Huh? Ice cold.
You know where my keys are?
No, I'm talking about your breakfast. Did you try the rumpus room?
Rumpus room? Great idea.
I thought it was going to be the first time we see the rumpus room.
Me too.
I was like, we're going to get to know what the first episode of the series you see the rumpus room. That's deep Simpsons nerd shit.
Which room is the den? I want to know.
The den was the living room, like where the couch is.
The joke is there's no rumpus room, and Bart is just completely...
I didn't,
a total dick.
It's really early, stupid Homer.
As a kid, I didn't know there was a thing called a den. Like, that's not what my parents called it. It was just the living room.
Yeah, living room.
And Also, yeah, I was going to say that in the commentary they say that Jim Brooks had this idea and handed it to him because he seems to be the only, in Simpsons history, he's the guy who was always pitching, do a Marge episode, do a Lisa episode, do a Patty and Selma episode. He seems to be the only one that cares about having women in stories, but apparently this was originally a taxi idea he had.
Really?
Where I think it was Riga gets sad and like can't deal with his depression.
I can't do a good Rhea Perlman. But by the way, shout out to new LaserTime user, Diarrhea Perlman.
I love that name.
Jesus.
Okay, I have to play Simpsons Continuity Police. In the beginning, Lisa's sad in the bathroom. Homer's trying to get in because he has to get ready for work.
Mm-hmm.
They both have ensuite bathrooms. What's going on, guys? Get the floor plan.
That's the kids' bathroom.
Yeah.
I only had pointed out Lisa is using the brand of toothpaste called Glum.
Glum
for a little on-the-nose video reference.
I have one more thing I missed. Sorry, I keep driving us off track. But in the opening, I've noticed that there are two poorly written gags in the opening for the first season.
Really?
We have Welcome to Springfield Nuclear Power Plant, where the E is missing from Welcome, and then next to that, Vizorts will be shot.
No, I never noticed
yes,
that.
Yes, that is right in the opening. Get a Blu-ray player, get an HDTV. It's right clear as day. So.
Well, also, this whole season, just such lame chalkboard gags. Lame chalkboard gags.
Like, this is the one about Elvis?
Well, we were playing like those sound clips. Those are not Simpsons-level jokes at all. Like, they are all really lame jokes. In fact, I wanted to capture this clip because I'm, like, waiting... I know what the episode holds for me heart-wise, but I wanted to, like, where is the funny? And, like, the first genuinely funny Simpsons-esque line was from Lisa's conductor. Do you know her name, his name?
Well, Largo.
Largo, yeah, here.
Lisa! Oh, this is pretty good.
Lisa Simpson! Lisa, there's no room for crazy bebop in my country, 'tis of thee.
But, Mr. Largo, that's what my country's all about.
What?
I'm wailing out for the homeless family living out of its car. The Iowa farmer whose land has been taken away by unfeeling bureaucrats. The West Virginia coal miner coughing...
Well, that's all fine and good, but Lisa, none of those unpleasant people are going to beat the recital next week.
So yeah, Lisa is sad for no reason. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, she is literally experiencing depression, but she doesn't know what that is, and she's trying to figure it out, but no adult will understand her. Homer has superficial advice. This is still bad advice, Homer.
Yeah. Well, it's a running gag at this point that people just can't understand Lisa and nobody knows what to do.
This episode, I think, fully forms the Lisa I really like.
She's the only person with emotional depth in this world and nobody else.
As much shit as we want to give the first season of the show, it's well-established six episodes.
There are depressing elements about Lisa that still persist.
Yeah.
That, like, nobody in her family understands her. Mm-hmm. She really doesn't have any friends.
And that nobody listens to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like this flower that's sprung from a pot of dung.
We do see Janie in this episode. Her personality-free friend who is, like, maybe in, I don't know, just 12 episodes, I guess. When they need someone to talk to, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for Lisa to, like, talk about Malibu Stacy with for a joke. But mostly Lisa doesn't have friends. I would also say that, it's just weird that Homer's inability to understand her depression is weird when he just tried to kill himself.
Yeah, that does seem weird.
With the continuity.
Homer was recently, like, just wouldn't get off the couch, horribly depressed, and attempts to kill himself.
Okay, so Homer's a little more fully formed as the character we know him as in this episode.
Yeah, well, Homer also does have so many awesome mood swings, like extreme mood swings and acting childish. Like, this is a lot more like the Homer.
I missed this episode when it originally aired. Oh. Kids in a Time Before Hulu and DirecTV... And that was a bad reference. It makes me feel like a dad just saying it. What am I
TiVo,
trying to say?
No.
What is the TiVo boxes that all the
DVR?
Kids are using? DVR.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
I missed this, didn't tape it, and the next day all my friends were talking about this episode. We were all in this room for unified by one reason.
The Punch Out parody.
It was the first I can't prove this. To me, this was the first cartoon I'd ever seen reference video games. Ever.
Huh.
Ever.
I think for me it was the first one that referenced them accurately with like a real knowledge of what they were dealing with.
I can't think what would have been first.
I mean, you would see someone with a joystick and there'd be like Pac-Man noises coming out of the TV.
Okay, you might see someone in an arcade.
Yeah. They are still using joysticks.
They were using Atari joysticks. That bothered me a little bit.
And they're playing a Nintendo game.
And that's it's so outrageous. Like, that is exactly Punch-Out. Yeah. Like, everything
about counting. The counting is exactly it.
I think Wes Archer, who directed this episode, must have played Punch-Out or had a thing for Punch-Out or like... At least, like, someone had played this game because it is so such a great parody of the game, and I think this invented fatalities. When I was watching this, I was like, "This game has fatalities where Mortal Kombat doesn't."
Super special for me for that reason. I can't think of anything else that had a video game in it ever.
Man, that is so. He punches off a character's head. Yeah. He dances on his grave.
It wasn't just a depiction of video games, but as the cool place video games could go, if only they added another 8 bits.
Land for such a simple. Season 1 is so simple and the budget seems so low, but whatever little effect they did to make it look pixelated was really good.
Yeah, here's a little clip of Homer yelling.
Whoa, 3 seconds, folks, a new record. Hey, no, I'm not down. Get up, you. Get out of the way, stupid. Not now, Marge. No, get out of the corner.
But they sent a note from school.
What did you do this time, you little hoodlum? Whoop, get out of the way.
I didn't do it. Nobody saw me do it. There's no way they can prove anything.
That's no, Bart. This note isn't about you.
It isn't?
Perfectly.
There must be some mistake.
By the way, playing the role of Mario in that Punch-Out one was Akbar or Jeff.
Yeah.
Life in hell looking character. Yeah.
And if I, not to be a stickler for those kind of details, but the noises he makes for the countdown are very similar to the noises in Punch-Out.
When the boxers laugh and like the music, it's just so perfect. Yeah. I really appreciated that as a kid. I was like, they got it right.
As a 7-year-old, that's what I liked. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I recall thinking of this as a boring episode. I didn't revisit much on VHS because who wants to hear about, like, Lisa's boring. She's a dumb girl. I want to see the Punch-Out scenes. And which is stupid.
I think that's why they put those scenes in here. They had that B story in as something much lighter than the very depressing Lisa story.
Well, but watching this episode as a kid, I didn't take away the moments of Lisa until I was much older.
Yeah.
Like, the video game was the big important thing for me, sadly. Yeah.
Then in your teens, you're like, oh, I stare in the mirror and think about how much life is empty.
Yeah,
like,
I got depressed at 33 for the first time.
I must have internalize these kind of, because I feel like in my depressed state I've told myself, like, nothing we ever do will matter, like, we'll all be dead in a million, and like, and nothing we create will stay, like, and it's all these things I heard Lisa say, like,
and I say that I don't know if I'm absolutely accurate in this. The show premiered I Am Bart Sage. As we're recording this, according to the arcade game, I am Homer's age, and hearing Homer relate his fears about getting older, I'm much closer to this now than Lisa's feelings.
You know, Marge, getting old is a terrible thing. I think the saddest day of my life is when I realized I could beat my dad at most things. And Bart experienced that at the age of 4. So why are you still awake?
I'm still trying to figure out what's bothering Lisa. I don't know. Bart's such a handful, and Maggie needs attention. But all the while, our little Lisa's becoming a young woman.
Oh, so that's it. This is some kind of underwear thing.
And Homer's fear, you know, you dig deeper into the meaning of this, like, Homer's fears are super Oedipal in this.
Yeah.
Like, he's very afraid of... it's also one of those weird things that happens in the show every once in a while where the characters in the game are Bart and Homer. Like, they look exactly like them, and they're playing as themselves.
Yeah, another age-based joke in this episode. Homer, I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead a little bit.
Oh, that's cool.
But Homer's at the arcade, and the kid that's teaching him is being admonished. Then she says to Homer, "A man of your age, you should be ashamed of yourself."
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I don't know if you went too, Bob, but like the three of us went to an arcade game convention.
Oh, no, I wanted to go.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I write about video games for a living, so.
Yeah, so we are all in that boat that, like, we should be ashamed of ourselves.
We should know better.
This was like a year or two after the movie Big, where it's like, can you imagine a 30-year-old playing with toys?
Yeah.
What a freak.
Because like, the way the guy treats Homer in the arcade is so mean.
I know. So also there was a scene. One scene in this feels like it was just a rejected short. The scene where Bart and Lisa are demanding Maggie come to the one.
I thought that was
love,
a great joke.
It's a great joke, but it even ends with a fade to black. I was like, did you just write a short and then just stick it in here?
Mm-hmm. You young kids don't know nothing about Simpsons fade to blacks.
So that was like I don't know if you guys, like, if you have a sibling and a pet, that's a game you played a lot.
Yeah.
Like, come to the one you love best.
Yeah. It totally was something I did.
But then Lisa's bucked up a little bit, and I love the sequence, but it's just, I don't know, one of those little things of, like, the world is a much scarier place now. Lisa's super depressed.
Yeah.
Oh, also that, like, The infernal saxophone gag, I think, happens for the first time. And like,
stop that infernal saxophone. Right, yeah. And also saxophone.
I don't have the first season memorized like I do the rest of the show, but I have Simpson Sing the Blues memorized.
Mm.
And seeing how like every little thing said in these short 13 episodes inspires like entire verses and songs. Like,
yeah, Deep Deep Trouble is just made up of a bunch of these lines.
Yes.
I think Simpson Sing the Blues wouldn't exist without this one. Mm-hmm. Like, this is all about the blues.
And
this song. Is the song from this episode is extended in the soundtrack also.
Yeah, I say we close with it.
So I guess we should talk about Bleeding Gums Murphy.
Oh, sorry, I got him, Bobby.
Okay, great.
Very nice. Very nice. I once ruptured myself doing that.
Thanks, Mr. Murphy.
My friends call me Bleeding Gums.
Ew, how'd you get a name like that?
Well, let me put it this way. You ever been to the dentist?
Yeah.
Not me. I suppose I should go to one. But I got enough pain in my life as it is.
This scene hit me super hard as someone who realized they may not have health insurance and I haven't been in the dentist in 3 years.
I thought about that too.
Oh, yeah. I was more thinking of just that I forgot what Bleeding Gums... I only really remember Bleeding Gums from his funnier appearance in his death episode.
Yeah.
But in this, he really isn't like... He's the magical black man.
I had the same,
he shows up to solve Lisa's problem.
Henry and I were wearing our SJW goggles during this episode.
but it
is a trope, yeah, for sure.
Though at least he points it out to the extent that he says, like, you're pretty sad for somebody who has no real problems.
That is my line of the show.
Yeah. Well, now, my line of the show is actually when Marge picks up Lisa right afterwards. And
I have all this, by the way.
Let's talk about the context. Lisa leaves home at night because she's sad.
Yeah,
she hears the sequence, saxophone.
But that's a simpler times kind of thing where, like, she hears a saxophone from her window and, like, wanders downtown.
Into the city where just a strange man.
I think Homer almost killed himself.
On the commentary, Al Jean is saying, like, if my daughter did this, I would lose my mind.
And that's what I was thinking, sadly, but it is a beautiful sequence. Like, something you don't see in even the second season.
They frame some stuff really well with the
movie. Whatever we want to... criticism you want to sling at Bleeding Gums, I love his animation, his introduction.
I think he's too animated, but totally. It looks good. Like, it's not the Simpsons style, but it still
looks
really
great.
Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Another thing they bring up in the commentaries is how a lot of this episode is based on the Simpsons having superhuman hearing.
Yeah.
There's another scene later where, like, basically someone has to be able to hear something like
12
yards
feet away.
Yeah.
From their car.
Yeah.
Like 12 feet away from their car. But well, the line I was going to say was like, personal.
Here's I want to talk a little about the arcade in a second.
Okay. Sure.
That's awesome. But it's the worst advice Marge has ever given, Lisa. It's preceded by that.
Now, Lisa, listen to me. This is important. I want you to smile today.
But I don't feel like smiling.
Well, it doesn't matter how you feel inside, you know? It's what shows up on the surface that counts. That's what my mother taught me. Take all your bad feelings and push them down, all the way down, past your knees until you're almost walking on them. And then you'll fit in, and you'll be invited to parties, and boys will like you, and happiness will follow.
Her memory, her dream of her mom, who that's the first appearance of Mrs. Bouvier, drawn to look exactly like Marge, which they note in the commentary that they're just like, this is maybe the first time they had somebody just look exactly like their parent or their parent look exactly like them. But the memory of Marge's mom telling her, like, repress your feelings. Mm-hmm. Don't look sad. You'll make me look bad. That feels like a very Jim Brooks kind of thing of like this emotional awareness.
But it also references a line that I thought was great in the movie.
Mm.
Lisa, you're a woman. You can hold on to it forever.
Yeah. Well, just them passing down these bad lessons of repression, like, through their whole lives. I like that message, and that Marge realizes that's the wrong thing to do.
I think this was for Marge's first real moment outside the Christmas special, which came later in the production, where it's like she wasn't just in the background going, oh, Homer. She had something more to her, even if it was bad.
No, well, and it's ultimately good anyway. Yeah. But yeah, Marge had so... I think we joked about this in the other ones. Like, Marge has so little to do in so many of them. We're just going like... Mm,
yeah. In the next episode... I'll talk about it later.
This is the end scene, but it's one of the moments these episodes stick with me is the touching moments that come from it. And this is Marge realizing she's wrong.
Lisa, I apologize to you. I was wrong. I take it all back. Always be yourself. You want to be sad, honey? Be sad. We'll write it out with you. And when you get finished feeling sad, we'll still be there. From now on, let me do the smiling for both of us.
Okay, Mom.
I said you could stop smiling, Lisa.
I feel like smiling.
That is really a Jim Brooks scene.
That is my favorite line of the episode. Yeah. And there's no way that Yeardley Smith could have said that line without smiling. Like, just the way it's delivered, it sounds like it's said through a smile.
I hear it, yeah.
But that's also one of those moments like, your parents wouldn't actually do... What parent would do that? It just doesn't feel... maybe this is just informing my childhood, but yeah, But the scene, like, the stuff she hears is this great, very real thing of... The boys learning, like, oh, she'll be a doormat for us. Like, she'll just do what we say because she wants to be liked. And the teacher, Largo, telling her, like, you're not going to have any creativity, are you?
And Marge hears that from an idling car 50 feet away.
Okay, yeah, there's the other one.
Should we talk about the arcade scene?
Yes, we should.
Yeah. Awesome.
Fucking Howie. Like, I'm excited. Gets a huge appearance in the arcade game.
R.I.P. Howie, never forget.
All based solely on this appearance?
So Homer goes to the arcade. Noiseland, a great fucking name for an arcade.
Bob, I would speculate that the writers maybe hated video games.
I think so, yeah. At least whoever wrote this, because this is kind of vicious to video games, this whole scene. And
the idea of an adult playing a video game is treated like, what are you, insane?
Like a reprehensible act of a degenerate. Yeah,
like a monster.
Yeah, like grabbing a kid's pogo ball around the same time.
But I do. Can I talk about the games in this arcade? Yeah. I wrote a list. Sorry, like I had to pause and like frame my way through this because some of them are so poorly written.
I did the exact same thing.
So we have Freeway! Exclamation point! Escape from Grandma's House 2 and 1. Time Waste. Itchy versus Scratchy. Pack Rat.
I saw that one.
Captain Noisy. Nuclear Winter. And my favorite is Robert Goulet Destroyer.
I looked at one of the... I didn't get Time Waste. It just said The Waste on one of the machines. Okay. The Waste.
Wow, so they were like 15 years ahead of Capcom on the Versus games.
Yeah.
I also, as they mentioned on the commentary, they designed the arcade expert to look like Corey Feldman. Ooh. A Corey Feldman type was their direction. Which
he had a real wise guy voice like that.
Barked like a dog for me.
Yeah, yes. He was supposed to be the cool kid.
Yes, a Midwestern child with a Brooklyn accent.
I was kind of troubled by how much enjoyment Homer got out of punching a virtual Bart. Like, he's like, oh, you take this one, boy. But I mean, it was him getting revenge and... Bart had been so mean to him.
Yeah. Well, we saw Homer's extreme violence side in Bart the Genius, so it makes sense.
Well, yeah, and he does, in the key scene at the beginning, he still towers over Bart and, like, almost attacks him. And I did think that Barney's Bowl-O-Rama burned down. Like, technically, continuity-wise, it should never exist again after, or they rebuilt it.
Along with, like, several museums. And,
this is an old episode, but it doesn't predate insurance, Henry.
And that was the shot they would reuse. Dave, you say it.
It's at the end of, One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Dead Fish?
No, the Triple Bypass.
I think it was...
Oh, no, wait. No, you're right. It is Dead Fish.
He's talking about, like, I'm never going to waste a moment of my life again. And then the credits is him doing that same scene where he's eating pork rinds in front of the TV.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I did have, as a note, this establish the short-lived canonical Homer loves pork rinds, which was very present in the first season, at least in the album.
Well, his love of pork products in general, they really kind of...
I'd never heard of pork rinds before this.
I think I didn't either, and I still haven't eaten one.
I did. They're fucking awful.
Yeah, they're gross. I am not a fan. Jerky, I'll have all day, but pork rinds...
No part of that phrase sounds delicious. It's a pork rind.
Well, you're a vegetarian.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's a rind. It's the part of the pork you throw on the floor. Wait to biodegrade.
Yeah. Oh, but... And I forgot that, like...
Forgot Robert Goulet Destroyer.
I mentioned it. Okay, for sure.
But Bleeding Gums, I remembered him being in more of this episode. He's maybe on screen for like a minute and a half.
He has two
scenes. And also the line I liked of Marge was when she picked up Lisa.
Oh, I have like okay, your line of the show you said
when she picks up Lisa Bleeding Gums.
No, there was another one you said earlier that I didn't actually grab.
Oh, well, you play pretty well for someone with no real problems.
Yes, yeah. I had that. I love Marge finds Lisa playing with Bleeding Gums. Murphy, let's go ahead and nominate our lines of the show.
That's my line of the show.
So let me get that jingle up.
That's the joke.
Lisa, get away from that jazz man.
But, Mom, can I stay longer?
We were worried about you. Nothing personal. I just fear the unfamiliar.
So I would have nominated that for Lone Lisa, like get that. Away from that jazz man. It's just to me, like,
that jazz
isolated
man.
A funny line. But I also love Bleeding Gums' philosophy on music itself.
You know, you play pretty well for someone with no real problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't feel any better.
The blues isn't about feeling better. It's about making other people feel worse and making a few bucks while you're at it.
Just, I wrote that one down, too.
The just the nastier cynicism things that I think Simpsons instilled inside of me.
It taught us all to be very cynical. Yeah. Watching all these is telling me that. Like, so many things I didn't think were taken from The Simpsons or inspired by it. I see these things and I think, like, was this the first moment I recognized this thing in me? Well, Dave, do you have a favorite line?
I was going to say I feel like smiling, but that's not funny.
No,
I think the funniest parts of that episode is Bart taking the occasion when the TV's unplugged. I want to use this moment to hereby retire from video boxing, which is
undefeated.
Yeah, and that's just like as bad as like taunting somebody when you're playing a video game. Choosing to not accept a rematch is even worse.
No, I'm tired of that now. I remember my friend saying,
"I never have to play again, and I have always beat you." And then Homer and. Yeah, that the Bart realizing Homer can beat him now and then having the excuse to be like, now I never have to play again. Yeah. And yeah, and Homer, I mean, I think that was the first time Homer like just sobs. He's like, whoa.
the sound that comes out of his mouth, I wanted to capture that alone. Just
So these stories converge in that, like, I guess Lisa gets that heartfelt moment with Marge in the car. Mm-hmm. They come home, Marge unplugs the video game, and then they all decide to go to the jazz hole.
It is bizarre for the show to end with everybody in the family, from Homer down to Maggie, enjoying jazz. Which is impossible, by the
jazz
way.
Jazz hole is quite a joke they got on the
It's quite a filthy joke,
But yeah, and then it's just...
But then you say the Bob Goulet Destroyer has the target on his crotch.
That does, yeah. But that could have been an artist joke.
Well, and then him singing the song, like, it's a cute moment. And I wrote that down as a first because I do think it is the first time the credits were done over a song. Oh, no, wait, the first episode is
When they don't close, they don't do the traditional credits over black. But I don't know. It might be the first that closes the song.
Well, I mean, Rudolph, technically, they'd start. But if we're not counting the Christmas episode, then it's the first regular
baby.
It's the first regular episode that ends with a song that isn't the theme song. Though Bart the General, is it Bart the General that ends with it over the house, or is it the one before that?
This time they're playing credits over scenes from the show.
An establishing shot of that club, right? Is that the only one that plays?
Yeah.
The only one? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and also I feel like the dude who's on the piano, the guy with like the weird turban or something on his head, with a lined body, like cylindrical body. I've seen him in the background too often.
I was going to remark that there was some of the most fully formed character designs that never appeared again.
He's got a whole band, like a whole like quattro.
That looks like it's so specific. They might be designed after real people or a real band. I couldn't find any information on that.
And Homer's reaction to he belongs in a zoo. He's like, what? it's overdone. And then I will also say the jockstrap joke for the Moe call is kind of a weak
still
one.
I love how colorful Moe's threats are to these
people. Yeah, he said, I'm going to gut you like a fish and drink your blood. Is that what he said?
Yes. Okay, I did not remember them being that vicious in the middle of the season.
On the commentary, Gene and Reese note that they hated writing those jokes.
Oh, really?
They never had fun with that runner. And that's why it's kind of gone. It didn't last too long. Actually, I think the phone calls pretty much ended after he threatened to kill Jimbo in the in
the Sarah Gilbert episode.
Yeah. New Kid on the Block.
I knew you'd slip up.
Was that pre or post Hugh Jazz?
Oh,
what a nice boy!
I'm Hugh Jazz.
I think it was pre.
Yeah,
post.
So, Chris, do you have like a Simpsons death?
I do
segment for this episode because we got one one.
Well, I don't have any other than the. In story one.
Death stalks you at every turn! There it is! Death!
God, we're getting a lot of use out of the arcade.
Well, there's a real person who died.
Oh, who?
Ron Taylor, who played Bleeding Gums.
Yeah.
He died in like 2002.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The man
pretty
himself
young too.
Is dead.
I don't think I have him on my list of every Did Simpsons celebrity guest star ever, but I didn't know who Ron Taylor was.
Celebrity's a,
he's a character
actor.
Yeah.
I think he must have been on the Cosby Show himself at some point. Yeah. Not just bleeding, not just blood and guts Murphy.
Also dead, Bill Cosby, I'm going to guess by now, with a bullet in his own brain.
Wow.
I'm
just... now he's starting his own comeback now. He's going to attack those people accusing him. He's going to show them.
Just go retire on a nice little island.
Yeah, but yeah, Ron Taylor, I mean... Again, he only existed. They only brought him back to kill him for you know, sappy reasons. And
Al Jean and Mike Reese admitted they wanted to win an Emmy, and that episode kind of plays out like that. I'm not a big fan of it.
I still think at this point, it's like a railroad coaster. Railroad coaster?
A railroad coaster. Those are
real,
big Thunderbirds.
Roller coaster ascent into The Simpsons finding its legs.
Yeah.
That's what I think. And I only other note I had, the keys in the door. Mm-hmm. Where Homer couldn't find his keys because he left them in the front door, I thought was hysterical until I lived with a roommate who constantly did that in a bad neighborhood.
Those are very cartoony keys, though, when they got them out of the door.
Dungeons and Dragons keys or something.
Yeah. it looks like something I would have chewed on as a toddler.
Yeah, I don't really have any other... Oh, no, wait. That they said this was the first appearance of Ralph, though... Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, in a technical sense, that character's name is Ralph, who I think then grew into the Ralph we know. Because in the second and third season, Ralph would occasionally show up with those witty witticisms like, love that chewing gum walk. Very Wrigley. And
who can tame her?
He's just being mean to Lisa.
Yeah, so they apparently called him Ralph because he was supposed to be a Ralph Cramden type. And weird. He was going to be a young Homer. They dropped that almost immediately, but... He was called Ralph, and so in the scripts, they were writing to that Ralph. So this is the Ralph we know, but not really.
Yeah. Before the paint shifts.
He's drawn different, too, right?
Yeah, he has like a buzz cut or something.
Yeah, it's weird. Different clothes.
Yeah, he's not Ralph, but technically he is.
Yeah.
And they definitely didn't write him to be Ralph Wiggum either.
So I guess that kind of seals the deal for Moaning Lisa. How do we feel about this episode? I mean,
I feel sad.
I think it did have a lot of... I thought it started out with a lot of profound things to say about depression, but then has a very sugary ending. For someone who's occasionally more depressed now than I was when I originally saw it.
It is a kind of easy TV answer to depression.
Just do this one thing you like.
Yeah.
I think it. At
I
least,
was already doing that.
It's a very important episode for the building of Lisa's character.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Lisa we love doesn't really. You have little hints of it in the show before this, but this is the sad Lisa.
Tonally, this is the sturdiest foundation I think the show has found.
Yeah.
For sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it creates this mother-daughter connection that really wasn't there before either. Mm-hmm. So, it's an important episode, not the funniest, and wasn't one I rewatched all that much as a kid, but. I can appreciate it more now as a sad adult.
No, good thing the next one is a total deviation from everything about this one.
Yeah. Oh, God.
In my opinion, this has the best video game in Simpsons history.
Oh, yeah. Slugfest?
Yeah. Not Larry Slugfest. The Looter?
No.
Not
Grand Theft Walrus?
We don't
My Dinner
count.
At Andre's? Well,
the Crash Bandicoot ripoff? I forget what that one was called.
Oh, yeah. Eat the 7 Crystal Babies.
All right.
So I guess we're going to wrap up. This has been Talking Simpsons for the Laser Time Podcast Network. Thank you so much, Patreons, for giving us your money. We really appreciate it, and we love doing this show. As for plugs, I am Bob Servo on Twitter. You can find me at usgamer.net and Something Awful and retronauts.com, doing a weekly gaming podcast, Retronauts. We talk about classic games. Everyone here has been on it, and it's great. Anyone else want to jump in on plugs?
Cantista Laser Time, you've probably heard of it.
HENEREYG on Twitter, and that's Cape Crisis. Give it a listen, huh?
I just want to say, that sounded really cocky, but just due to the nature of our Patreon, you literally would have had to heard of it. If anybody gets this episode or didn't pay, shame on you, and I'm not a dick. I'm not a douche.
At Dave Rudden, and I host Cheap Popcast, which is about wrestling, so if you like the boxing in this episode, maybe you'll like that. And if you donate at the $10 level, we do wrestling commentaries every other week.
That's all for us this week. Tune in next week for a brand new episode. And up yours, children.
I got this bratty brother. He bugs me every day. And this morning my own mother gave my last cupcake away. My dad acts like he belongs, y'all. He belongs in the zoo.
What?
I'm the saddest kid in grade number 2.